You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
I have a level of expertise, and I have a level of information that nobody else has.
Never been a better time to be a Tennessee basketball fan. Quitting time on your Wednesday afternoon edition of The Drive. 5 o'clock, Russell Beer, Brandon with you. Tennessee laying waste to the Southeastern Conference, making a case for number one in the country. Be interesting to see what happens Saturday. Tennessee takes care of business against Bama. Wisconsin might do the deal for us against Michigan. Virginia and Duke should be an interesting game. Tennessee has a real chance to be number one very soon if they continue on this tear. You've got Kentucky fans triggered online.
Really?
Yeah, we just talked about it. Admiral Schofield's liking the tweets.
Okay.
You've got Penny Softaway triggered about it on ESPN.
I'm Penny Hardaway.
The Wambulance.
I'm a fraud. I can't coach.
1 cent on ESPN earlier today. If you're just getting off work, let's revisit Penny Hardaway taking the bait from Jalen Rose this morning on the Worldwide Leader.
But Rick Barnes is feeling some type of way about your arrival. What's going on with him in that relationship?
I've always had a lot of respect for Coach Rick Barnes. We had a situation here in Memphis with a rivalry game. You know it's going to be heated. You've had those rivalry games against Michigan State before, I'm sure. So you know that when you get into that game, it's going to be hot tempers and a lot of competitiveness. And after the game, I didn't feel like he gave my team a fair understanding of what we were trying to do. You know, he was kind of mocking the NBA and our coaching staff, and I really didn't like that. I have the utmost respect for him, but I couldn't let him do my team like that.
Okay. What situation is he talking about? What was the situation, Penny? Was the situation?
Don't take the bait, Bear. He's just making stuff up, man. He's just making stuff up. This is what Lane Kiffin was doing in 2009 when he was here at Tennessee, right? He is just whatever I can do to get on TV. Any publicity is good publicity. And, you know, kind of like Florida at that time, they were just coming off a national championship. Now, the Urban Meyer era was beginning to crumble there, although we didn't know it at the time. But they didn't pay Lane Kiffin any mind. It's like, okay, we're going to beat you, and then we're going to go on about our business trying to win. And that's what Rick Barnes is doing right now. You just had a massacre at Thompson Bowling Arena. I mean, they're still clearing out the blood and body parts from Arkansas left over. I mean, that was a domination. What did the league get up to? It was 35 maybe a couple of times?
Yeah. Barnes was not happy after the game.
Well, I just like
we talked about
the
that,
first yeah. play of the game. All this talk about Gafford coming in and what a matchup. Kyle Alexander wins the opening tip. We get it. Come down there. I think it was Bone has it. Throws it right into Kyle. Like, not even working around the perimeter. Just throw it right in. Go right at Gafford. He turns around and puts it in. And that set the tone. Gafford was pretty much a non-factor. I think he had 10 points and 4 or 5 rebounds. But, I mean, for a guy who's averaging 19-9, like, he was well below his average. Tennessee dominated him. And as you're pointing out, Bear, we let our foot off the gas a little bit.
I was a little disappointed.
The last 5 minutes. Well, Barnes was livid.
Not offensively so much as defensively. We should have smothered them.
Barnes was livid after the game. We held them to 37.5% shooting in the first half. In the second half, Arkansas shot 57% from the field.
It's unacceptable.
So, and that's Rick Barnes' message, like, hey, man, I'm pissed at the way we played. Our players better be pissed off. I bet you the next practice, because I think they're off today. I bet Barnes' eyes twitching a little bit.
It was last night towards the end of the game. Did you not notice that? He was hot. at somebody. I can't remember the exact sequence, but it started to get a little bit of twitchy.
Well, it's the perfect scenario, right? Because you're thinking, oh man, if there's ever going to be a letdown, well, we've had three or four blowouts in a row now. Now he gets to go on, turn on the field, and show our players loafing, tear into them a little bit, and I'm guessing we're probably going to have a pretty inspired effort Saturday against Bama.
Yeah, I feel quite certain that Coach Barnes is going to get the young men's attention in practice.
Yeah, he got exactly what he needs to make sure there is no letdown. And that Bama game setting up to be another good – I've had several people today hit me up, hey, you know where I can get any tickets?
Oh, that's the hottest ticket in town right now.
I don't know, man. And
people aren't selling.
Nah. That game is a hard sellout, and be prepared to spend a little jing if you want to get into the arena Saturday night.
Yeah, and I don't think a lot of people are wanting to come off of them.
You're going to have a sold-out crowd on hand, an overmatched Bama team trying to hang with, in my opinion, the best team in the country, and one Nigel Tamoris Martin in the house. Surely we trot him out there for a standing ovation at some point against the school, Alabama, that he was 2-0 against as a starter, never lost to the Tide.
And he turned down recently to come here again.
Yep.
It's like you turned him down when he came here.
Join us Friday at Corner 16. Live edition of the show will be there. Probably be there setting up around 2:30. And then, of course, we'll hang after the show. If you want to come out and have a beer with the Drive, we'll be there afterwards. We're going to have Ice Bears tickets to give away, Valor Fights tickets to give away. We'll be giving away a $25 copper card. I'm trying to get my hands on a pair of tickets to the Bama game to give away, but I'm telling you, man, it's hard.
I'm looking right now on StubHub. Cheapest tickets, $35.
That's got to be up in, like, the outer atmosphere up there on the third level.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
So that's way up top, man. It is a hot ticket. Join us again Friday, Corner 16, the corner of Bob Kirby and Middlebrook in West Knoxville. Jalen Hurts falls out of the portal today. He lands in Oklahoma. And what do you make of Lincoln Riley, the decision to block Austin Kendall, who's transferring away from Oklahoma? And Lincoln Riley is on the same day. I mean, this takes some nerve, man.
Yeah, it's not nerve, but it takes cojones.
On the same day that you accept the transfer of Jalen Hurts, you are blocking Austin Kendall from 2019 eligibility at West Virginia. Under the new transfer rules, Kendall is able to talk to Mountaineers coaches and is free to transfer to the school. Oklahoma, however, still reserves the right under NCAA rules to keep Kendall from becoming immediately eligible. So this goes back to the Brandon Kennedy rule. I'd forgotten about this. This is the SEC had the same rules set up last year. Remember, Saban was trying to block Kennedy just like he blocked the kid who went to Georgia the year before. And the SEC stepped in and said, listen, we're not doing this. As a league now, like, our transfer is free to go. That's why Hurts is free to – you don't think Nick Saban would have blocked Hurts going to Oklahoma if he could have?
Oh, sure he would. Especially Oklahoma. He might face him in the playoffs again.
So the Big 12 doesn't have this rule. And so the kid has graduated. He can talk to wherever he wants to go. He can graduate wherever he wants to go. But he has to have Oklahoma's blessing. I mean, how archaic is that? I guess West Virginia is a Big 12 school, so that's kind of a similar thing. But, I mean, come on, man. You talk about the height of hypocrisy. On the same day, you accept the preeminent grad transfer on the market this year.
Mm-hmm.
You turn around and tell a kid who's leaving your school that he can't do the same thing? Really?
No shame, Russ. So I say they ought to get paid. They ought to have very – I don't see why they – I don't know. You know how I feel about all this stuff. I've made it pretty well known.
I mean, that seems really dumb. The weather predictions for Kansas City Sunday.
They're brutal.
I love single digit temperatures.
Yeah, the eye of a polar vortex is literally going to be centered over Arrowhead Stadium.
Would you go to a game like that?
No.
If that's your team?
No.
The Chiefs, you haven't hosted a championship game in who knows how long. You got a great team. The Patriots are coming to town.
If I had – well, I mean, if I was properly prepared for it, like if I had the proper gear to sit outside in weather like that, I don't think most people understand how cold – like the prep that has to go into sitting at being outside for 5 or 6 hours in like sub-zero weather.
He's got to layer up, man. I've sat out some pretty cold games, single digit temperatures. That seems rough. Brandon, you're I know you feel like you're washed up at 24, but would you go to the game if that's your team?
You missed that conversation, Bear.
Brandon's an old man. He says he's past his physical prime. He can't do anything anymore. He's never
Russell.
Be a
Russell's trying to get me. Russell was trying to get me to become a fighter, a UFC.
We're going
to
train him. We're going to get him turn him into a lean, mean fight machine.
Toughen
him up.
See? Professional wrestling, I think you could pull off.
Would you go to the single digit game?
If that's your team? Probably not. The coldest game I've been to is either Vanderbilt 2013 or Kentucky 2014, I think. Both of those games, they were not single digits. Maybe low 30s, high 20s maybe. I was miserable.
I was at the coldest, I think two of the coldest Tennessee games.
Did you dress in layers? Or did you just show, oh, I'm a college kid, I'll bring my jacket, and it's fine.
No, I mean, I
you wore long johns?
No.
Well, there you go. What are you doing?
I mean, I wore pants. And
just
I wore
one pair of pants.
Yeah, but I had like a t-shirt, a hoodie, and a big jacket on.
No, that's See, that's what I'm saying. Most people aren't prepared for how you have to dress.
How do you do it, Bear? How do you do it? If you had to go to the single digit game, how are you layering up?
You have to you start with really solid thermal underwear. That's your base layer.
It's critical.
Put a pair of
it's critical.
Believe it or not, I'll go a layer of flannel over that.
Okay.
Tighter flannel. And then I go, you got to have a rugged pants. Blue jeans aren't always the best choice.
I mean, those big Carhartt suits. Those always look good, man. You ever go to a high school game and see some dude in the full-on Carhartt suit? You're like, man, that guy looks toasty.
Yeah,
that's good.
He is. No, usually like something like this, like Kansas City, seriously thinking about wearing like ski pants.
Yeah, with the vest that comes up.
No,
with the overalls,
yeah, I mean,
those
either
are good.
Either a bib or
those are warm.
Yeah, those are similar to the Carhartt.
I had those
but just
since
snow
I was a little
pants.
Kid. Those were so
and
much fun.
And then up top, you got to go with numerous layers. Start with thermal, then t-shirts, and then sweatshirts,
long sleeve t-shirt,
then build up
sweater.
to a coat. You definitely want to have mittens are better than gloves.
Really?
Yeah.
Without the fingers?
Yeah. As far as keeping your hands warm, I prefer to have those big giant mittens. The ones are the ones that you can like flip it back
for a grown man.
But it's
mittens.
Yeah,
mittens.
You can like if you go to like REI or somewhere, you can flip the mitten back and the gloves end, and you still got your fingers to use. And then you get your mittens back over and keep your fingers warm. You're not going to act like wearing mittens is sim. I'm talking about survival here, preventing frostbite. Then you get
oh,
up.
Hold
you want,
on, Bear Grylls. We're at a football game, not in the Arctic North, okay?
Well, last time I checked, didn't you? Yeah, you did, dumbass.
It's say Arrowhead it Stadium, not Siberia.
-5 and with a feels like of what? Maybe -20? They say it could end up being one of the coldest games on record. So, yeah, and then what you would do then is I don't like the bulky toboggans, Brandon. Like what I like to go with is they've got like a thin, you like pull it. It almost looks like those hoods that racers put over, those fireproof like things the racers put over where just your face comes out.
Yeah.
You go with that. And then, I mean, if it's a feels like 30, if that wind's whipping through Arrowhead Stadium, I would definitely wear something over your nose. You got to make sure your nose is covered. And there's several places on the human body where you lose a lot of heat. Head's number one.
Yeah. I've got this. It's like a. It's like just like a gray hat. It's not really a toboggan, but it has a mask that pulls down over it.
Yeah.
Very clutch in the cold.
Anytime you're talking anything sub-zero, you got to cover your face. Because even if you don't get, like, any kind of frostbite, you'll win that cold, you'll get windburn. You ever had that?
That's the worst. Brandon?
I don't think so.
Like Tom Coughlin, that game in Green Bay a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
his face is all red. It's awful.
Windburnt.
Who's next, Brandon?
Josh.
Josh, you're on the drive, Fox Sports Knoxville.
Hey, guys. I just want to comment on the transfer stuff with Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. I think other than it just being kind of like a jerk move and being kind of cowardly in general, I mean, what is he afraid of? West Virginia breaking in a new coach. They lose their quarterback. They lose a couple of their best receivers. I mean, Oklahoma's a juggernaut. What does he care?
Petty.
I mean, I guess it's just vindictive. I mean, I'm trying to, like, put myself in his shoes, and maybe it's like, you know, we gave you – you got your education. We've coached you up for 3 years, and now you just want to bolt. I can see that feeling. But, dude, you just took Jalen Hurts. It's like if you weren't taking Hurts, if you had invested in this kid and said, all right, Kyler Murray's left. You know, you're the – we won't name you a starter, but, I mean, you're the leader in the clubhouse. You come back and do everything you're asked to do, you'll be the guy next year. Like, I can kind of see that if he bolts then. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying at that point I can see where he would be coming from. That's not the case. Like, you're taking the number one quarterback available on a free transfer basically. And
immediately eligible.
And you're talking out both sides of your mouth here.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, he's okay with, you know, learning some of the Alabama secrets, but maybe he's afraid of some of the Oklahoma secrets going to West Virginia. But even if they, you know, gave him the playbook, I mean, they're just going to out talent West Virginia next year. So I don't know.
Oh, no, whoa. He's blocking a transfer to a conference rival, a divisional rival.
Where have
I
you
missed,
been?
I missed that piece of information.
The Big 12 does not have divisions.
Yeah, no.
They play a round robin.
No, I tell him pick somebody outside the Big 12. God bless you.
I mean, I kind of get that, but I don't know. I just
wait, think. Wait. How is that different from what Saban did with Brandon Kennedy? We crucified him for that.
That's a good point.
Brandon Kennedy graduated.
So did he.
Oh, he's a grad transfer?
Have you been paying attention
yes,
to any
I
of
have,
this conversation?
But you, half the time you're coughing, the other half you've got a peanut butter bar crammed in your mouth or drinking water or yelling at me. So forgive me if I get lost sometimes. All right,
yeah,
Josh,
I mean,
where were we?
I guess I get it from the coach's point of view, but it's just a jerk move, and it goes along with a lot of the other stuff, treating these guys like they're amateurs when they're not. So it's just more BS like the rest of it.
I agree. And now that I know he's a grad transfer, is that true, Russ? Josh? He is a grad transfer?
Yes.
As far as I know, yeah.
Once they graduate, the football program should have no control over where those kids go. They fulfill their end of the bargain.
Right. I mean, I'll have to go back and make sure on that part, but I'm pretty sure that he did graduate.
Let the young man, rather, transfer to West Virginia, if that's where he wants to finish his grad studies
at. I never have to argue with you because you argue with yourself better than I ever could.
Once I have all the information, you really want me to?
Anything else, Josh?
I'm good. Thanks, guys.
Let's get Jeff in here next. Jeff, you're on the drive, Fox Sports Knoxville.
Hey, Smith.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Yes.
Hey, y'all haven't lived till you get some flannel line. Khaki pants, man.
Got a pair.
Flannel lined.
You can relate.
That
man.
Sounds
you talk
amazing.
About cozy, and you can run a meeting. I mean,
yeah. Like if you end up like getting caught out, like they're awesome.
You ever have you got flannel bed sheets?
Yeah, I don't go
That's
there.
Nice. That's nice.
You don't see the flannel, Russ. Just flannel lined. But hey, big faux pas, don't do it. Rookies like to double up on their socks. Then you go, you know, restricting the circulation, and that's what keeps you warm, and you get frostbite in the toes, and you're wondering what happened. close game I ever went to, I made the opposite mistake. I went to a Kentucky game. It was when Kevin Simon and Burnett were running things over there. I guess it was mid-2000s, early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a night. It was a something team at a Kentucky game. You want to talk about shrinkage. I mean, I was like freezing a different level because I had loafers on. I don't know what I was thinking. With no socks. Like, I mean,
were
honestly,
you in a frat?
Man, car revoked, whatever. I had to go to the first aid tent, man. It was ridiculous.
Do you guys remember somebody just sent
me? No, wait, you went to the first aid tent?
Yeah, I do. I had to warm up. I had a heater in there.
Wow.
That's what it's there for, man. Somebody just sent me the picture. I remember this game. Do you remember the Vikings when they're building that stadium for a year or two, played their home games at the University of Minnesota Stadium?
Oh, the Seattle game?
The Seattle game in the playoffs. It was -6. And Bud Grant, who was the coach of the Purple People Eater teams in the 1970s, shows up and goes out there. It's -6 degrees. 88-year-old Bud Grant comes out for the pregame coin toss in short sleeves.
He's like that guy, the old man Bridges off Seinfeld. What were those guys called?
Oh, Mandelbaum.
Yeah.
Mandelbaum.
That's what he reminded me of.
It's go time.
Hell, I don't understand why they wanted to play in a dome. Back when they used to go to the Super Bowl every year, if they could get any kind of home field advantage, you couldn't go up there and win. I mean, they never won the Super Bowl because it was always in warm weather, but, I mean, that's how they made it to four. Like, I think it was like four straight Super Bowls. I'd build a team to play in the cold and dare anybody to come up there in January.
I don't see how they do it out there. Like, you know who the puff cakes are, the ones with, like, all decked out and, you know, they got the face mask on, and then you got the dudes that are just insane, and they're like nothing but a jersey, like it's you know, 98 degrees in the swamp.
I'm warm weather to the core. I can't stand the cold. I hate watching cold weather games anymore. You see these nuts out of the player. Oh, I'm a big tough guy. I don't need sleeves. I'm gonna play out here. And I was like, yeah, whatever, idiot. Like, it makes me uncomfortable watching any game that's played like below freezing. And the dudes are out there running around, no sleeves.
You're soft.
Hey, on this Hurts transfer deal, yeah, that was a big piece of information I wasn't aware of. If it was a grad transfer, wasn't there a loophole that I thought there was a loophole if the school that you're wanting to go to didn't offer the program you wanted, it didn't matter. I mean, when did coaches start you know being able to dictate where you go on a grad transfer?
Well, I mean, it's always been that way. The SEC just changed their rule last year because Saban had been blocking these things. But, it's unfortunate. Go ahead, Jeff.
I'll be interested to see if they end up playing Bama. Someone reported that one of the reasons why he wanted to go to Oklahoma to play and beat, emphasize that, you know, additional play and beat Alabama in the playoff.
What a storyline that would be.
I think that's going over with those Bama fans.
What a storyline that would be. Jalen Hurts in Oklahoma against Bama in the playoffs.
Go and get Jalen. Get on out of here.
Roll down tide.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate the phone call. We got to run, man. Quick timeout. More of your phone calls coming up here on Fan Run Radio. All right, here we go. It is The Drive on Fan Run Radio. Cranking out these phone calls on a Wednesday afternoon. Let's bring in John Tweet. John, are you prepared to issue an apology for your, what's the word I'm looking for here?
Dumbass.
I was going to say blasphemous. Okay. Blasphemous comments on Cody McClure and Brandon Orick's house band, Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Terrible.
A symbol of Southern pride, purveyor of anthems left and right, man. Nothing but bangers from Skynyrd.
One after another.
Russ, do they play a song that's called Sweet Home Alabama?
They do, but they're not from Alabama.
All right, then the conversation.
It was in response to some Yankee talking bad about us.
Buddy.
Just because the Alabama fan base is annexed it into their fight song, and you're going to get all triggered, then you walk around calling everybody cucks about it. Do not slander Ronnie and the boys, okay?
If you want to cheer for Alabama, you go ahead and do you.
Well,
that's you. I don't do that. I don't give a damn about them. I hope a new kid hits the state.
Well, it wouldn't even touch Leonard Skinner's graves because they're all in Jacksonville, Florida.
If we're being honest about it, that's even worse. They're from Florida and they sing about Alabama. It's kind of like the worst of both worlds.
What are you doing?
Roll down tide.
Can't stand them.
Roll down tide.
Bully for you.
Go Gator.
I'm just not a fan of the University of Alabama. And if you are, that's okay. But I'm not.
Well, no, you're a moron, and one has nothing to do with the other.
What is their most famous song?
Probably Freebird.
Probably Freebird, working for MCA. Okay.
Past Freebird, it's Sweet Home Alabama.
Tuesday's Gone. Give Me Three Steps.
I don't get down like that.
Ballad of Curtis Lowe. Brandon, you got any you want to add in? I know you've got a few.
Tuesday's Gone.
That ain't the one.
That Tuesday's Gone is not more than Sweet Home Alabama.
I'll tell you what, it's one of the most recognizable songs in the world, according to that whole Q rating thing that they put out.
What?
Yeah.
What? You know how they politifact check all of Donald Trump's speeches? You need to do it for all the Bear statements.
Wouldn't even be comparable.
I mean,
we call that verification tweet.
Yeah, his verified stuff. I mean, he probably missed his calling. He should be doing something different because he might be able to get away with sales because he can say stuff and you're like, hey,
no, I don't like the sleazy part of sales. No, I couldn't do it. You've come in here. You're not going to turn this around. Are you going to apologize for slandering one of?
No.
I keep trying to get.
Are you going to hold up your end of the deal?
I keep trying to get Bear to come in our sales meeting this morning, and me and Nate and Big John Reed
invite me to the sales meeting.
Nate Hodges just whipped out several briefcases full of unmarked bills. It was amazing. Had a duffel bag.
I don't do
stuff
sales.
With cash.
Why would I apologize to the guys that run the DTD house over there? What was Delta Tau Delta Tau Delta? That apartment probably is like that place. Am I right or am I wrong?
Wait, we're talking about Brandon and Cody's
Brandon and Cody.
Wait a minute. I know you're not going there.
I bet you it's like the Delta.
I'll rip the phone. You either apologize now to Brandon or I'll rip the phone out of the wall and pay Nate for it after the show.
Brandon said they don't even clean.
I don't care.
What, I clean don't come my room.
We call that the litter box.
Yeah.
No one calls it that but you two dullards.
There's a cat room in there.
That's their roommate's room.
All right, stop. We're moving on. Okay. We're moving on. We're not going in on the roommate. He's not here to defend himself, I'm sure. Wonderful person.
No, Cody's a good guy. Hey, what is... Does Bama not... Does Bama... Not, you mean the cat roommate or Cody?
Move on, tweet! Move on!
Bama kind of concerns me for some reason. Am I the only one?
Concerns you in what?
They beat
football?
The hell out at basketball. They beat the hell out of us last year. Now they don't have.
I don't care if they win. We're going to get beat at some point. I don't know when that'll be. I won't like it, but it just stands to reason. It's a really long season. I don't really want to lose to Alabama in basketball, but I'm not worried about any of them. I know one of them we're going to trip up. We're going to look like crap, and then Barnes' head's going to explode.
Bear, what you said about you don't care if we lose one early in that SEC tournament, honestly, I don't care either.
It just wears out their legs a week before the big one starts.
Now you're thinking. You know what I mean?
I'm always thinking tweet.
Wears them out. So they would play a Sunday afternoon game in Nashville, come back, have 3 days to get ready. If they play on a Thursday, four if they get played on a Friday. I mean – come on, this ain't a church league men's team. These are finally
teamed
athletes.
No, but you're asking
athletes.
Them to go, what, if they're the number one or number two seed, they'll play Friday, and they made it the championship game Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then let's say they end up being the early game on – I don't want to go into the most important part of the season, the tournament, anything other than well-rested with fresh legs ready to go.
And, Russ, you know, if we're a one, we will play on the shortest turnaround, the furthest away from where we are. You know that's what's going to happen.
Oh, we don't know. We don't know that, actually. But,
John, hold on.
We do know that. Whatever is the biggest screw job they can give us, that's what we're going to get. So it's the shortest turnaround with the furthest travel time. Promise you.
I've got a message for you, John.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm not like you two, waving the white flag.
I'm not waving a white flag. I'm just telling you what's happening.
You guys would throw the game, wouldn't you? Okay, it is on Friday. We have more time to get ready for the NCAA tournament.
John, I have a message for you.
Excellent.
Oh, God.
Tell Tweet to watch his mouth or I'll shut it for him. And actually, we don't know. We aren't sure if the cats are still alive. That's from Cody.
Fantastic.
Well, that is true. We have not seen the cats in a long time.
Okay, dead cats in the apartment. That's good.
Like Chris in that episode of The Sopranos. One of you guys might have sat on him when they were drunk and not realized it.
That was a dog. That was Adriana's dog when he was stoned on H.
Oh, man.
The intervention scene with Chrissy's incredible, isn't it? Where they just all start railing on him.
So amazing. Have you done The Sopranos yet, Brandon? No, you haven't.
No, you just asked me that the other day.
All right. You need to watch it. Homework, Brandon, homework.
I mean, I tell Rick Butler to watch all these important films.
Rick Butler, Rick Butler.
He does it while taking on a full course load at the University of Tennessee, and you can't be bothered. You can't be bothered to watch The Big Lebowski, The Sopranos.
Out of all the interns we've had on the drive,
Godfather
I never cease to be amazed, although he's kind of transitioning from intern to member, that Russ has picked Rick Butler to be his pet. His familiar.
I mean, Yash was a fine intern.
Lexi was incredible. Lexi's the best intern the drive's ever had.
She's the best looking intern the drive has
it
ever had.
It had nothing to do with that. Yeah. She had a.
Yeah, she looked like Rick Butler. You'd have chased him out, her out, whatever. Like on the second day.
At least he didn't yell at her on her first day.
I don't mean that as a sexist comment.
We bonded because me and Lexi were the two that were consistently getting yelled at unnecessarily by you for our parking.
Well,
there
maybe
are
somebody around here
out there who drives a Toyota.
You know, trying to set a tone.
Lexi, fresh out of Circle Park, the communications campus over there. It's hilarious. Her eyes are real big.
865.
You're a real tyrant there, Russ.
546-8200. I feel like I put up with an inordinate amount of
who drives a Toyota? Kind of like that guy off Animal House. What was Niedermeyer? That's how you come off sometimes.
I don't know, but do you guys get the promoted tweets on your Twitter timeline?
Yeah, block and report everyone.
If I see this dude powdering himself one more time, are you guys getting this? Do we all get the same ones? You know what I'm talking about?
No, which one is
it? Manscaped?
No, I don't get those.
You haven't seen this one? This guy?
No, I swear to God.
You've never seen that one?
No.
Turn it around here.
This guy.
Some guy throwing talcum powder at his junk.
No.
That is on my darn timeline.
Block him.
It's a good idea. I'll do that right now. I mean, good grief. How many times a day am I going to have to see this guy throwing talcum powder at his undercarriage? It's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. Oklahoma has blocked quarterback Austin Kendall from transferring to West Virginia for competitive reasons, according to Dennis Dodd, who is on the list.
Let him transfer to Tennessee, then. There, we'll take care
of the
problem.
It's actually not a bad – yeah, will you rescind your criticism of
– Didn't we recruit
him? Of the rule if it allows us to get him?
But they probably wouldn't because we're on the schedule.
How many years does he have left to play? Is he a grad transfer?
He has at least one.
And is this the kid that was committed to us at one point?
Yes. He was committed to Botch.
Well,
as so many were.
Somebody call him up and let him know that, you know, dipstick isn't here anymore.
it doesn't seem like we're going hard after a grad transfer QB. Right? Maybe Chaney and Pruitt love him some JG.
Maybe they think Marr might be the one. Did you see this nutty video? That one? For everybody that follows Tennessee football, there was a wild video they put out. I want to know who this strength coach is besides Coach Fitz, because he's like Terry Tate, office linebacker.
Oh, the big dude. That's Byron. I can't remember his name. He's from South Carolina. He played at South Carolina.
Oh.
There are two of those guys from South Carolina.
Yeah, we were listening to it at my other job. We watched it a couple times at my other job. We were getting ready to start slapping each other and stuff. It got us fired up. He's nuts. I love strength and conditioning coaches.
Did you see, and not to make it weird.
Right.
Did you see the size of Wanye Morris's rear end in that video that they did?
No, because I don't. This is a whole when you all get into creepy recruiting territory for me.
Oh, he had fluid hips, Chris. Man. Oh, yeah. Oh, this is so big, man.
He is like his body shape roughly resembles a Grimace.
Really,
from McDonald's.
Coach Fitzgerald redistributed that for him.
He's got this like huge, gigantic posterior. These little bitty shoulders and arms sticking out of the top. He's like 90% ass is what he is.
He's a baby is what he is.
Wanye Morris.
He's just a kid.
No, I'm not saying it's not it's an impressive lump of clay to be molded, hopefully, into a gargantuan offensive tackle. And hopefully by August. If he could do it in 8 months, that would be good. Coach Fitz,
I mean, if anybody can do it, we got to figure out who – Byron, what? Is he the assistant strength and conditioning coach?
I'll look it up for you in a break.
I mean, those two. Quavarius Crouch was in that video, too. Looking massive.
Take a quick break.
It'd be so much fun to be good at football again.
When we continue, we'll do a little check it or wreck it. Brought to you by OEB Law. Time for a few more phone calls as well. If you want to jump in, speak now, forever hold your peace. 865-546-8200, 546-8200. Got to check that Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question one more time before we leave. That was a good one. The best player of the Butch era?
Mm-hmm. Too bad you didn't put the best player in there.
No, but Jalen Hurd was not winning that poll. It's going to be Barnett, Kamara, or Dobbs, right? I mean, you can make the argument for Hurd, but he's not winning that poll.
I'm not talking about winning the poll. I'm actually talking about facts. The fact of the matter is,
I want a winner. I'm sorry, this ain't a participation trophy, Lee. You don't get. I want the truth because
No, you can't. You can't handle it because the truth of the matter is, Jalen Hurd's probably the best at all. Out of the four of them.
Jalen Hurd is better than the school's all-time leading sacks record, better than the reigning NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year.
We'll see.
Better than the Rocket Man. Stop. Just stop. Stop.
Oh, Valhalla. Byron Gerardo. 700-pound deadlift. Jesus God Almighty.
Here's something big. Pick it up. Shocking conclusion coming up.
The Check It or Wreck It, brought to you by Ogle, Elrod, and Beryl, the official law offices of The Drive.
Football players who wear no sleeves in snow games are idiots.
What an idiot.
Check it.
I'll wreck it.
Big check it.
I'm wrecking it. Intimidation factor.
What opposition has ever gone out for a football game and looked across the line and seen somebody in cold weather wearing no sleeves and be like, whoa.
Well,
that guy's crazy, man. I don't know if I could. We spent all week practicing for this game, but he's not wearing a shirt, so I don't know, man. I just can't do
well,
this.
Well, if you want to get done with your, you know, your variety hour act over there, I'll tell you, there's two positions specifically that don't like it. Offensive linemen, because it gives defensive linemen something else to grab on. They'd rather rub Vaseline on their arms. Running backs also do not like wearing sleeves because they do not like the ball. The ball on. It's easier to fumble a football if you're wearing sleeves than running back in cold weather. That ball's slick and cold.
If you can't feel your arms,
they can feel it.
Ridiculous.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Let's see. Jalen Hurts will win a Heisman Trophy next year at Oklahoma.
Check it.
Really?
Actually, no. No, I reckon I don't think he can throw it well enough.
I'm going to check it because I think it's a made-for-TV kind of bonanza, and I think that's what they'd want.
There's so many Oklahoma – I mean, how many Oklahoma quarterbacks have won a Heisman this century? Is it three or is it four? Is Jason White, Heupel. Sam Bradford – did Heupel win it?
I thought Heupel won one.
And now this kid. Am I missing one? Did another?
Baker.
Four? They've had four quarterbacks win the freaking Heisman – this century, and Peyton Manning, Johnny Majors get screwed, get shafted.
Majors didn't get shafted.
It's
that
absurd. Bad. Yes, he did. Paul Horning was on a 4-8 football team. 4-8.
Jim Brown was at Syracuse, bro. That's who should have won the damn thing.
In 1956?
Look it up. Look who came in third. That's who got screwed. He had better numbers than both of them. He was Jim freaking Brown.
Paul Horning won a Heisman on a 4-8 football team because Notre Dame. And then Charles Woodson, who can absolutely about to curse on air. Kinder, gentler. There are children listening. That's Check It or Wreck It.
Your children might be listening.
Brought to you by OEB Law. What's that supposed to mean?
I was just saying. I was reminding you.
OEB Law. Let them come to you and turn your wreck into a check. Wreckittoacheck.com. Call 865-546-1111 for OEB Law. Bringing you Check It or Wreck It every afternoon right here on The Drive. Have you seen the Japanese space elevator?
No, this sounds like a really bad idea, though.
It's exactly what you think. It's an elevator going all the way from Japan to space.
How are they going to keep it from falling over?
It's a good question, Bear. It's a good question.
It's awfully tall.
Do yourself a favor and Google Japanese space elevator, and they've got the pictures.
Seems like it would be awfully easy to attack, too.
They've got the
if one were a fundamental Islamic terrorist or any other kind of fundamental, whatever you want to be, fundamental terrorist. Why are terrorists always fundamental?
It's a good question. How long would it take to ride the space elevator all the way up to space? I think they've got it attached to like the International Space Station, and it goes all the way down to the ground.
So if something happens and the elevator collapses, it's just going to yank the International Space Station down through the atmosphere, burning it up, destroying the space station, and killing all the astronauts and cosmonauts on board?
I'm sure there are smarter people than any of us that have thought about these questions.
I will freely admit.
Yeah.
I will freely admit, Japanese engineer,
oh, Paris White, tower might fall down. Start over.
I will freely admit that I don't think the Rand Corporation is going to come kidnap the drive for their private think tank of geniuses. But this whole Japanese elevator thing sounds like a really bad idea, Russ.
Have you seen it?
I'm pulling it up now.
Have you seen the picture, Brandon?
Yeah, I just looked them up.
The space elevator. I mean, it does make sense on the level, like, it probably would be safer. Excuse me. You're restocking the International Space Station with fresh freeze-dried chili or whatever they eat up there. It makes sense to like send it up via the dumbwaiter as opposed to, you know, like getting on a shuttle with a million gallons of gasoline underneath you, rocket fuel or whatever.
Russell, they've got a whole YouTube rabbit hole you can go down on this.
I know, man.
Did you go down?
I don't know if I watched the video.
This thing isn't going to work. A miniature elevator stand in a box, just 6 centimeters. Oh, it's not going to work.
Engineer Bear, Fairy White, we miscalculate.
Good God, how xenophobic do you want to get there, Russ?
I don't know. What is the Japanese engineer going to sound like?
Konnichiwa. Arigato.
Doesn't it look cool, though? A tower. I mean, how tall is that? Is it like 100,000 feet? 200,000 feet?
Really?
Into space?
Why don't you Google on your computer there what, where the edge of space is?
I mean, you could, like, eat a sandwich in the time it takes to get up there. And what happens, like, when the gravity starts dissipating as you get up there, and all of a sudden you're, like, just slowly start floating?
Well, here's a thought, cool. Einstein. What happens when the elevator breaks down, caught between floors,
oh,
8
man.
Gazillion and 5
man,
billion?
That would be worst, right? Hit that alarm button.
Well, if there's a leak, it'd have to be pressurized with some kind of artificial atmosphere. I mean, it's fraught with technological problems I see in this thing, Russ. I mean, I'm sorry. I can't go along with this. I think it's a stupid idea. Just, I mean, completely stupid.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get on a damn elevator and go to the space station.
The beginning of space is roughly 62 miles above sea level.
So that would be what if you're doing your math correctly, Russell?
You know, like 300,000 feet. Remember 300,000 feet? How many feet are in a mile?
Right around 5,000, isn't it?
5,280.
Don't come off acting like you're some guy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I know the standard measurement system.
Oh, yeah. Jerry Lundegaard.
How many feet are in a yard?
Three.
Look at the big brain on Brandon.
We're really racing to the end here.
Yeah.
Hour three.
Just flexing a little mental muscle. Flexing on you. Stay with us. We got overtime coming up next from 6 until 8 right here on Fan Run Radio. We'll do it again tomorrow on The Drive. Of course, be sure to join us Friday out at Corner 16. Getting geared up for that one. It's going to be a big one this Friday, but be sure to tune in again tomorrow. Podcast will be up momentarily for anybody who missed it. And we will do it again tomorrow, 3 to 6 here on The Drive.